We got breaking news this morning. President Trump addresses the John Bolton FBI raid.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo for Friday. We made it, everyone. Jordan Seculo's in studio, Will Haynes as well, and we got a packed show coming up, but I always want to hear from you as 1-800-684-3110. Of course, reporting on the breaking news that happened, I guess, overnight or early this morning, which was that the home of John Bolton was raided by the FBI, and I believe his office as well. They've said a secondary location. I believe that's the assumption. This happened right now, and they believe that they have reason to do so. When President Trump was asked, he said he was not briefed beforehand, didn't know about it. You know what? Maybe that's the right thing, because we know that's not certainly how it was running during the Biden administration.
That's right. So, as you mentioned, there was an early morning raid about 7 a.m., it appears, local time, so East Coast time, at both John Bolton's house as well as his office. While we are live right now, FBI is still at locations doing a search. This is a search warrant that had to be signed off by a judge. As you mentioned, President Trump said he was not briefed about this prior. And I think, Jordan, that is one thing that is unique, I think, to some degree. Getting back to the way that the DOJ should operate in a case like this is they went before a judge. They got a search warrant, which is the normal process. The president wasn't read into this as though he directed or ordered this this raid, that the FBI believe they had probable cause to look into what they are calling a national security investigation.
Yes, I think what this all kind of comes together as, this is the investigation into leaks that happened under the first Trump administration, leaks that led to impeachment, leaks that led to special counsel. And we know that one of those individuals who played a role in the first impeachment, as I did, was John Bolton. And it's because he used the impeachment to tease his new book. His book was about his access to the White House. I think it was called like
The Room Where It Happened.
And remember, there was this whole debate during that impeachment trial that I was part of about whether or not he would testify. And he was promoting his book. It said, you know, to find out all the info, you got to buy the book. He said he would not voluntarily testify and he would have to be subpoenaed. And ultimately, he was not subpoenaed to testify in that. And again, this was a guy looking at that point to sell books. So anything he could do to tie it to what was going on.
Felt like a marketing
play. Imagine that would be the starting point, right? He took information. Was it actually cleared? You know, when you're a national security official and you write a book, it has to go through government clearance of a number of different government agencies to make sure that you are not releasing both classified information and also information that could be damaging or harmful to operations that are currently in that the U.S. is currently engaged in. So it's not like a normal person who writes a book, My Time in Politics. This is when you're a national security official, it's a very different standard, and he rushed it through.
Yeah, but he did rush it through. I think there is a Cash Patel put out on, you know, no one is above the law. FBI agents are on a mission. That's what he posted on X, I believe, or on Truth. A lot of people, Pam Bondi said, America's safety isn't negotiable. Justice will be pursued always. All these kind of posts are going up. Now, look, I think what they need to prove, what they need to show, and this is just my point of view, it doesn't have to be the point of view of everyone else's, is that this isn't just retaliatory, that this isn't just sort of revenge hunting, that they actually have probable cause to be going to do this. Because if not, you're going to have a situation where this is going to be a new ping pong, and I don't care for that. Yeah, I don't care for the idea of just raiding to raid.
No, what I think would be interesting is if this is the beginning, and what we have is both Democrats and Republicans being raided, because this is an administration that says we care about the leakers, not what party they're affiliated with. Yeah. They were all doing it to hurt the president. So they all had that kind of as their impetus. But it doesn't matter if they had an R next to their name or a D next to their name or whose administration they served in, that no one is above the law. And I think it's very important, Logan, as you said, for this not to look like retaliation, but to look like the beginning of no one is above the law. And that, I think, would be a lot easier to accept as why these national security raids may be necessary.
Yeah, what do you think? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. And of course, we are just now wrapping up. We got about a week left in our 35 years of victory drive. Be a part of that today. Make your donation if you can. But phone lines are wide open at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think? Right back. welcome back to Seculo. Thanks for joining us right now. We know some of you may be having some glitch issues that are happening on YouTube. We believe we are back up and running. So if you are back, fantastic. Let me know if it's working for you in the chat. We're monitoring it, and our social media team is monitoring it as well. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are following the breaking news story this morning. That is John Bolton, who had a lot of national security situations happen over his tenure with President Trump. Whether you liked him or not, whether you thought he was someone who brought good things to the White House, I believe President Trump said there are times he didn't like him, but when people were scared of him, and he didn't mind a little bit of crazy occasionally that could come out of people like John Bolton. I think a lot of American people felt that way during the time. But now, having a police go and raid his home, I believe it's in Bethesda, Maryland, it looks like, as well as maybe his office, starts to becoming that question, and Jordan and I discussed it over the last segment, which is to make sure when you're doing these kind of raids, this situation happens. Look, I'm not a big raid guy to begin with. I think
right. There
needs to be a pretty high bar before you start going into people's property. I'm not a fan. As long as that high bar was met, though, I understand the situation, but I want to make sure that like the President Trump said, he had no idea about it. I hope that's true, because I think that is the role of the FBI. That shouldn't be the role of the presidency.
Well, and Logan, once again, as you mentioned, that is what we did see many times during the Biden administration against former officials within the Trump world, whether his campaign and whatnot. And that's what the Comey and then Chris Wray FBI like to do. And we weren't a fan of it then. Obviously, there are times when the FBI needs to do this. What we are hearing is that they went to a judge and got a probable cause warrant. Now, that was able to be done with those other raids as well. But what I think you are also going to start to see...
Are we raiding someone who is, trafficking people or drugs? Okay, get it. But if it's, he may have some documents floating around. We've kind of seen that document battle over the course of the last decade now, and I'm tired of it. But hopefully, like you said, that judge was legitimate, took the cause, and approved it.
What you are also going to see, and I've already seen it this morning, I saw it on CNN this morning, saw it on other networks as well, is the Democrats, especially in Congress, come out and start to blast this. This is political retribution against people. When at the core of it, though, if you were to boil it down, and it is a classified documents, retaining government documents type of situation, and you realize how the FBI was weaponized against the individual who could declassify, raiding Mar-a-Lago, indicting him for that, and then the left screaming no one is above the law. Well, they got it wrong on the law there, but they were right in principle that no one is above the law, Jordan. We've seen throughout this entire, ever since the Russiagate scandal, individuals within government that had been around way too long and thought of themselves as more worthy of government secrets or the smartest guy in the room, and therefore they were somehow outranked even the president of the United States. And I think that was what a lot of the problems with many people were. They had that kind of swampy old vibe, even if they weren't the traditional swamp creature, but they had worked in Washington so long that they thought that they were above the way the Constitution operates and that they were the most important person. Right. Therefore, they could do whatever they wanted.
Right. And write whatever they wanted. So, I think a lot of this, again, stemming from the impeachment trial, you had John Bolton come out, release a teaser to his new book, that, again, was the room where it happened, that supposedly had a lot of information the impeachment was about, but then he upset Democrats by refusing to voluntarily testify, and he would have to be subpoenaed to testify. Republicans and ultimately the Senate did not make that move because it looked like a ploy to sell books, honestly. And
that's where he started losing, I think, a lot of people in terms of public favor, not just within conservatives, within Democrats, because he was at some point was a rare respected guy.
Well, I would say, remember, this goes back to, first of all, John Bolton was our representative at ambassador to the United Nations under President Bush. Right. He has always been a hawk and a neocon. He was then brought in to the Trump administration with a lot of other hawks and neocons. You had your Rex Tillerson's, Mattis, others, who really were kind of holdovers from the kind of George W. Bush, even H.W. Bush style of geopolitics when it comes to utilizing a military force. And people from the very beginning, we were on the outside then, not the inside, said, this is going to cause some conflicts. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take long for them to cause conflicts. But they didn't just cause conflicts in the fact of, we don't agree, so maybe you need to resign, or I like your opinion because I don't always agree with it, but I want your opinion in the room, so keep it in there. Instead, it became a fight, and it was won by, remember, this was one of a number of those first round of officials who did not fit into the Trump world or the Trump geopolitical vision.
Logan, we're also monitoring. We expect the President Trump, to be making an announcement of some sort in the Oval Office. This was picked up on the White House schedule last night. So we've got that. We're monitoring it, our team, and we will break in as needed. But another thing to this, when, as people are going to say, this is political retribution, all of those things, if it were that, if this were President Trump going after his enemies list, John Bolton, I don't think, would be the very first person that they would go after in a political retribution style. There is reporting from Catherine Herridge that this is actually a reopening of an investigation that was shut down by the Biden administration. So that there were individuals and investigators that believed that there was a classified information or national security issue with John Bolton years ago, and then that when the Biden administration decided to shut it down. So whether there's new evidence or there was a re-examination of this case and thought that maybe Biden shut it down for political reasons, that all could be coming out as well, that this isn't necessarily something new. This is something that was already in being investigated by federal authorities at some point within the last 4 years, and then the Biden administration decided to shut it down.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. I want to go to Carrie in Montana, who is an ACLJ champion. When you're a champion, that's someone that gives it a monthly recurring basis. You get bumped up to the front of the line for calls. So again, phone lines are still open for you, though, at 1-800-684-3110, but champions get that perk. Carrie, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. And all I want to say is something real simple. No one is beyond the law, especially we know that God's in control. These people that are being busted, I'm thrilled because I think they thought they were God, kind of like Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, and we could go on and on and on, but no one is above the law. So if these guys are getting raided, I hope it's legal, but if it isn't, maybe they're getting their own taste of their own medicine from what they did to President Trump and us for 10 years. Thank you, guys.
Well, there is a process that goes along with this. They had to go to a judge.
Yeah, someone had to approve it.
Yes, it had to get approved. So it's not like they can just unilaterally on their own as the Department of Justice or FBI go raid someone's home. You have to then go to another branch of government to get the sign off on that. And the reason has to be is that that anything else like, hey, where you're coming, we need you to prepare these documents for us, would provide someone possibly the opportunity to try and destroy documents that they have in their possession that they should not have in their possession. So you kind of, it's not a real high bar if you when you have someone who is as public as John Bolton, wrote a book about a lot of these things, kind of rushed it through the clearance process. I think there's some issues there as well. I have to go back to that, the first impeachment. But what I think is important is this is not like the only person. Like, there's got to be, because it was not just John Bolton. He did play a significant role in that first impeachment, played a major role. He was kind of, faked out and trying to be like the spoiler. Like, I've got something no one else knows because I was in the room. And we found out that was all to sell books. There was nothing in there. But also when that book came out, wasn't a lot in there that was new that I recall.
Well, and once again, Jordan, that is where this needs to be investigated in the proper way. And to the caller's point, I do not hope that it is somehow not an on-the-up-and-up investigation, because we don't want, as we've mentioned with impeachment, don't want that to be what our system becomes. No. And therefore, I do believe that Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are doing things the correct way, at least as we've seen thus far. And so the hope and the kind of benefit of the doubt is that there is a compelling reason that they needed to do it this way. I don't believe that they would have done it just for show, especially if it's just a classified documents issue, because then that would once again be something that public relations wise, it backfires on them majorly.
Yeah, absolutely. Phone lines again are open at 1-800-684-3110. As we go to this break, I do want to encourage you to celebrate with us this ACLJ 35 years of victory drive. We only have a few days left in it, and I want you to know this is a great time to give. If you've ever thought about giving throughout the year, this is the time to do it. These special months, we're able to have your donation doubled. What that means is there's another ACLJ champion, ACLJ member, that's ready to unlock their donation. I mean, even today, we have faced critical court deadlines. We are, of course, fighting in Massachusetts with our own ad campaign to combat the lies protecting pro-life pregnancy centers. We've done so much this last year, but we need your support. So whether that's our brand new fights, 35 years of victory, big wins that came out even in the last 24 hours. And of course, looking back, but also really looking forward, we've put together an incredible team. Help us grow that. Help us grow the ACLJ to new heights. You can be a part of that team as well. All you have to do is go to ACLJ.org, and every gift during this month will be doubled, but there's only a few days left, so do it right now. To Secula, we are going to take some phone calls. I kind of want to kick off one because Tim's calling in Lake Tahoe on line two. And I really am curious, Tim, your thoughts here, because this seems to be kind of the rhetoric I hear quite a bit, which is there's never real accountability, there's never issues. But then, of course, we're seeing today an FBI raid. So I just want to get your thoughts. Go ahead with your comment.
I first, I want to say I love you guys and I appreciate everything you do. I've been listening for a long, long time. And I'll continue to support you guys. You guys are awesome. But I get pissed off when I hear no one's above the law. They're all above the law. There is never, ever, 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 ever consequence. I mean, this the $500 million thing you got turned overturned yesterday. I mean, how is that judge not in bars? How is that? How the judge who speaking found that guilty months ago? How they should arrest him immediately? It was easy to overturn. It was.
So, and we have Jordan here as well. We can talk about that. And there is one distinction that we do need to make about that. So just the penalty portion
was overturned.
We assume the Trump team and the Trump organization will still appeal to get the entire verdict thrown out, because we do know that there were two justices on that appeals panel that thought it should have been completely taken out, that entire judgment, found guilty on that civil fraud case. But even with that one, it isn't a thing where the penalty also took away the entire judgment against the organization at that point. So there is still a fight there.
There was a penalty that was kind of like one of those, which is that he couldn't serve on the boards, and that was taken away. So, I mean, that, but the again, the idea that the laws were violated under the judge's reasoning, that's, again, not, that's still in court.
That hasn't been reviewed. That hasn't changed yet.
Right. So it was, again, was it a wild penalty? Yes. That's why we have appeals courts, and you see that even in New York through that system. You can get the right decision ultimately. Should it have ever happened? No. These cases are ridiculous. They're absurd. And I think we're starting to see that more and more once it gets up to the next reasonable system of our three, kind of the trial court, appeals court, Supreme Court system.
Well, and Jordan, I think also when we're broader talking about what Tim's talking about here as well, when it comes to these individuals, the entire apparatus was so stacked against justice for so long, I feel like. And that is where, even within the first Trump administration, you had the entire FBI and then a special counsel that were weaponized against the president based off of a fake concept. And so, yes, that's 4 years there, plus the 4 years of the Biden administration, which was weaponizing the justice system to try and hinder the president from being reelected and ever getting back into the public spotlight. But now we are only in August, and we're starting to see things that we didn't even expect. We didn't expect there to be some sort of FBI raid against John Bolton. But once again, if these are warranted in cases like John Bolton, you want it to be done the proper way. You don't want it to be just a knee-jerk reaction from the government to try and get back at people, because, one, either those cases will fail, and then There will never be real accountability, and that will be another problem.
You've built that up now,
so
yeah.
You have to do what's right. You have to follow the law if you are investigating an alleged crime. And that's even the entire issue with the James Comeys, the leaks, the weaponization, the manipulation of intelligence. That is what some people are thinking could be a portion of what they are looking into John Bolton for, because if he retained documents, retained intelligence to then use as a smear against the president, that would be along those lines. But if they do it right, it isn't quick. They have to have a lock solid case if there is a case to be brought. If not, then the Justice Department is no better than what the Biden Justice Department did, where they just weaponized things that should never have been brought and should never have stood in court.
Right. And I think ultimately here, what we want to see is justice be done, equal justice under the law, not tit for tat, not you did this to us, so we're going to do this to you. And I expect if this is broader than John Bolton, that you're going to see people that had maybe D's next to their name, people that would not be Republicans, also face these kind of situations, because there were a lot more of them involved in this than there were Republicans, though he was one kind of very upfront and came out with the book, you know, rushing it through the security clearance process, having some fights there. So I think ultimately here, the big question is, does it happen? Is it just John Bolton, or is this the beginning of more of these kind of actions to get to the bottom of what was going on in that first administration that was trying to undermine a first administration that got a lot of work done?
Absolutely. I want to go ahead and take another call for this segment. Let's go to Brian in Virginia. Brian, go ahead. Brian, you there?
I love what they're doing. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Hello?
We got you.
Yeah, I mean, I just love what they're doing. I hope that they go after all these people, whether it's Bolton, Letitia James, Adam Shifty. As long as there's any kind of evidence, I say go on the offense, you know, charge them, put them on the back foot, because they went after President Trump with nothing. They made up stuff. So, you know, I don't believe like retaliation just for the sake of retaliation, but I say, you know, all these people, usually when they're accusing Trump, they're doing way worse. So I'm just glad they're opening up all these things, and I hope charges eventually come. I hope people are finally held accountable.
Brian, I do want to clear up. If there's probable cause and there's a reason to do this, great. I got no problem with it. It's the visual rhetoric and, or the visual look of it, feeling like it could be some sort of retribution or some kind of media move.
That's just because that's what we've gotten used to.
Yeah, exactly. So just show me what the what was the reason you did this.
Well, things being on camera so quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the fine line that you have to walk if you are the Justice Department at this point, because if you want to have accountability, you also want to restore faith in the system, you have to do it right. But sometimes it's easy for the other side to point the finger and say, look, political retribution, because they conditioned you to think that's what's going to happen. They started telling you the story was going to be he's going to go after his enemies.
Yeah, because an FBI raid, inherently, it's like where my brain goes. It's like when you hear FBI, you hear these things, you forget it's the Dan Bongino FBI, the Kash Patel FBI. I still kind of lean back on it being the FBI of old. So when you hear FBI raid, my first, especially on a guy who is a historical Republican, even though he did not agree with President Trump, even though he worked for him and had, of course, that big falling out. But at the end of the day, when you see those kind of things, historic Republican, FBI raid at his home, it stinks. And I want to make sure that we are doing it properly.
And remember the type of FBI raids, though, that were happening under the Biden administration. A pro-life demonstrator, they raided him pre-dawn like this, guns out. Because he defended his son against a very aggressive pro-abortion protester that got in his son's face and he pushed the man back. That went to trial. The Justice Department took that father to trial and lost their case. But they brought the full force of the FBI against a father who was protesting abortion and celebrating life and protecting his child. That is what we got conditioned to be FBI raids being. So when you see it, it also makes it real easy for the left to be like, look, politically motivated.
Exactly. They're taking a page out of your phone playbook. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We only got about 40 seconds left in this segment. If you don't get the full half hour or full hour of the show, and only this half hour, you can find us broadcasting live each and every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us at ACLJ.org, YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcasts. We're there either live or recorded earlier. You can find that again at ACLJ.org. FBI.org or however you get your podcast. But with that, 21 seconds left. I need you to support the work of the ACLJ. A great way to do it right now is to have your donations doubled during our 35 years of victory drive. You can scan that QR code, go to ACLJ.org, support our incredible legal work and our incredible media work. Do it today. We'll be back in just under a minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. I want you to join us right now. Phone lines are lighting up, so we only have room for about two more calls right now. And of course, we want to talk about not only the John Bolton situation, which we're going to restate because a lot of you join us in the second half hour. People always ask, hey, Logan, why do you always restate the second half hour? There's some stations and areas around the country where they pick up just the second half hour. So we got to make sure the people that are just tuning in right now have any idea what we're talking about here. And of course, we were talking about the breaking news out of this morning that John Bolton, home and office were raided by the FBI. And again, well, my gut reaction when I hear FBI raid Republican is not good. Now, this is obviously, we have to reframe ourselves. And remember, this is the FBI currently being controlled by Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. So right now, I think we need to restate the obvious.
That's right. So what we're looking at here is that there was an early morning raid by the FBI on John Bolton's both home and office. This is related to a national security investigation, according to sources to many reporters. But we're also seeing that Catherine Herridge is reporting that they were conducted and it involves government records, that this is the reopening of a high-profile national security case that was shut down by the Biden administration. But also, when you do go back to this raid, obviously, documents are easily concealed. They're kept. If there's a dispute, they may not hand anything over, say we don't have them. So I understand getting a search warrant and wanting to get that. But sometimes, as we saw, well, we saw what happened at Mar-a-Lago. When it comes to a raid over documents, yeah, it does seem like overkill.
Yes,
if this is all that it is very easy also to play into the hands of critics on the left, Jordan, that say, you really went with the raid again when it's over documents. So that is the fine line that I feel like Kash Patel and Pam Bondi are going to have to walk here and explain why it was necessary to do this.
It's a raid again.
Usually this would be necessary for one or two reasons. One, they believe that the documents are there and that surprise is the only way to get to the documents. Or two, that he wouldn't comply. They could have tried that track. They could have said, will you turn over, can we make sure that you did not have any classified documents with you? They might have given that option. I doubt it, because then the raid wouldn't make as much sense.
Showing up at 6 o'clock in the morning doesn't make any sense.
Typically, what they imagine here is that this was important enough to go in like this. But if he had them, then or suspectedly had them, we don't know if he does, then there would be a handful of others. I'm not going to start naming names here.
He gets up early, though. He's an old man. Okay?
The other question, though, does come from this. If they are just documents related to what that book was about, things that had to do with Ukraine at the time, which is completely outdated, I would say, at this point. There's now a war going on. What else could there be? I don't know that we'll know this at this point. There also are not charges brought against John Bolton. He was not arrested. They were not serving an arrest warrant. This was a search warrant of his home and office. And I assume typically those have limitations.
This happened to Joe Biden. This happened to Biden properties as well. It's happened to Mar-a-Lago. It's become, I think, again, like kind of out of control. Let's make sure that, and I think if it has to feel out of control for a little bit to get back to normal, so where this is really like last resort kind of political action or legal action you take against those involved in the political process, or we start looking like one of those countries that does this to whoever their political enemies are. And it doesn't really matter if they're on your side. They could still be a political enemy because everybody's running for the same offices.
Look, it is what I have said here at the ACLJ, is what I pride ourselves on somewhat, is the fact that we at the ACLJ will tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. You may like that John Bolton's homes and offices are being raided.
I understand why people would.
And there may be a justifiable cause. Let's hear what that is. Let's see if there were documents there. Let's find out what it is. What we don't want, though, is this Banana Republic style a world to end up being American politics forever. Because you run into some big issues. Because guess what's going to happen? The pendulum is going to move. It happens every time. You will have a Democrat president not too far from now. Just if history serves us correctly. We'll be right back with more calls and comments coming up. New Brown. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Sorry, we were talking Cracker Barrel in the break here. So, you know, just discussing all of it. What do you think about that? I think it's a marketing plan. I think we're all buying into some marketing scheme that's going on right now. And then they're going to switch back everything and they're going to go, we sided with the American people. It's what it is. You know, don't believe the hype, people. Okay?
I mean, I just Grandpa's side with
back on the side.
Mayor of Knox County, side. Glenn Jacobs, who said Old Faithful still stands and has him in front of a Waffle House. But
is he referring to himself, the big red machine, Kane?
Probably.
Yeah, because he still stands as well. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I did also want to address some work of the ACLJ that we're doing right now. Then we're going to get to the calls about John Bolton and all of that, because I know I'm driving a lot of you crazy in the comments, which I love. But Will, there is some updates on what's going on in Massachusetts and our pro-life work.
That's right. So as you remember, one, we had this kind of two-tiered track of combating what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts was doing with pro-abortion groups to try and target pregnancy resource centers in the state. And one of them was our ad campaign combating the ad campaign that the government was running there that was calling them fake clinics and do not trust them. If they talk about hope,
anti-abortion centers,
you know that these anti-abortion centers are frauds. So we had our own campaign, as well as filing a federal lawsuit on behalf of pregnancy resource centers in the Commonwealth. We had some back and forth early. We survived a motion to dismiss early on this. That was the government of Massachusetts trying to get the case thrown out by amending our complaint with new evidence that we obtained through a state Freedom of Information request, and then we resubmitted. Now we are back at this motion to dismiss stage. They have filed their motion to dismiss, and today our attorneys are filing our response to that before the judge. So this is that next step, Jordan, but it's always a very important step because you need this early victory. You have to survive the scrutiny on your complaint against the government that they are violating the rights of your client. And so we are filing that today. I know our attorneys worked tirelessly on this.
Yes.
We were giving them a lot of praise yesterday for the brief that we were cited in that that case out of New York, that appeal.
You're right.
But here, those very same attorneys fighting for a pregnancy resource center in Massachusetts, and we filed that brief responding to the government's motion to dismiss today.
Right. And the reason why is to get through a motion to dismiss is how you get to discovery. It's how you start with depositions, interrogatories, the questioning, the documents. The heart of bringing a case is you've survived all of these procedural issues. You are now in court. So now you are going for the real information. And so you have to, again, applaud the work of our attorneys who do all that hard work in the early stages of a case just to get to the point where you could start asking the questions of the opposing side in this issue, which again is the shutdown or attempted shutdown of these pro-life pregnancy centers, which we see across the country time and time again, using taxpayer resources, sometimes partnering with other groups to do so. And it's we've seen it in California with the former vice president was attorney general. And, you know, we're seeing it in Massachusetts now has been the hotbed of these. That's where Planned Parenthood has chosen to go in the majority of its cases is Northern California and Massachusetts.
That's right. And we have been the front lines of that really for the last year or more, working directly with some of these great organizations. Again, a lot of them are volunteer run, people that are doing the best they can do to help, whether it's pregnant mothers, whether that is helping people who already had children with formula, with clothing and diapers, and they do a lot of special days. And we had one person call in and said that they paid for their child's first birthday party. These are the kind of things that these people do. They're amazing people doing amazing work. And of course, when you have your own state trying to shut you down, we can't stand for that. That's why at the ACLJ, we take on these cases, and we do it at absolutely no cost, by the way, to the client. So if you're one of these pro-life pregnancy centers, we're not taking a dime from the money that you have. We are going to go after it. We're going to go after it in court. Of course, we pay the incredible legal staff we have here a good salary. Why? Because people like you donate. You donate maybe during these months where donations are matched. It's a great time to do it. Understand the importance of the work of the ACLJ. That this is why we need to be there for you, not just in the media, not just covering the news, not just giving you a point of view, not just telling you the truth when you don't want to hear it, but also to be in the courts when necessary.
And Logan, just to also bring up, this work is widespread. We've been fighting this for a long time. As CeCe said on the broadcast just last week, this all kind of stemmed, this entire playbook, from a NARAL document back in 2000. So 25 years ago, they've been pushing this, both using the media, using advertising, using the state governments to go after what they call fake clinics. We know them as pregnancy resource centers. They've been doing it for a long time. We had to fight against Kamala Harris when she was the Attorney General of California, and we won there. They were doing the same type of things across the country. Now the battle's in Massachusetts, where we are directly fighting how they are trying to silence them. But also, we will be filing shortly at the Supreme Court on behalf of our Massachusetts clients, a brief that is going, a case that will be heard next term by the Supreme Court, where the Attorney General of New Jersey is going after pregnancy resource centers, trying to send investigative subpoenas. So when you hear us here talking about the news, know that our attorneys are tirelessly working on all these issues as well. And it's not just happening in Massachusetts. It's happening all over the country, and we're continuing to fight.
And we understand that a lot of you do watch because you want to know kind of the top stories of the day and how you should be interpreting them. So we don't want to abandon you with that, with just the work that we do in the courts. But understand, those happen both, as Will said, simultaneously at the same time. This show was never originally supposed to be that show where you were able to break down what was going on in the world. But unfortunately, I guess you'd say, or maybe fortunately, we had to fill that gap, that void that was coming from the mainstream media that was telling you either, what to like and what not to like, and we're telling you at it from one side and not actually being honest with you. We're telling you just what you wanted to hear to drive advertising money, to drive ratings, things that we are not driven by here. You cannot look at it and go, oh, the ACLJ in this show, there's big corporate sponsors behind it. If you're hearing a corporate sponsor in your local radio station, I want you to be 100% sure you know this. None of that's going to us. Okay, it's going to your station or to the network. None of it. In fact, a lot of these markets, we are paying to be on. And you may go, why would you do that? Why? Because then you got no corporate overlord. You got no one telling you what you can and can't say. And I prefer that. And I hope you prefer it too. Because we're actually able to give you honest conversations. We're able to have honest news and media. Be able to tell you what's going on in the courtrooms. Tell you what's really important. Because no one's given us a list of things saying this is what you have to say or don't say today. And don't think that's not happening in your mainstream media. That's exactly how it happens. So if you want to support true independent media, this is a great place to start. So I encourage you to support our work. Your donations are doubled. They're only doubled right now through the end of the month, which is only a few days away. We're here in the mid-20s at this point, okay? When it's over, it's over. And we're not going to have another opportunity to have your donation doubled for months and months. So I need you to join with us right now. When we get back from the break, we're going to hear from a lot of you, because I like hearing from you when you call in, because I always say, we have leading experts in everything. However, it's always important to hear from the people, because we may not have big corporate overlords telling us what to do, but we do get to hear from the voice of the people, the supporters, because this doesn't happen. This show doesn't happen. Our legal work doesn't happen. None of it happens without you, because we are 100% supported by donors. You may say, Logan, I saw an ad on YouTube. You would not even understand how low of a dent that makes in our budget. It does not pay for the guys that make the YouTube videos. Understand that. The incredible team that puts together that not even close, okay? So understand, though 500,000 people have subscribed to this channel on YouTube and more watch each and every week, it is a total different world as the people that have to make all this incredible content. And because, you know why? Like I told you, we hire the best of the best, the brightest, the new faces, the ones who I think are going to have incredible careers. And I want them here. And I want them here to work on our media team, and I want them to work on our legal team as well. because both of those things need the top of the top. You don't get cited in a Supreme Court case. You don't have these things happen. You don't get put in the president. We're working with the president of the United States and have all of a sudden your brief show up as what they cite yesterday without having the brightest minds.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely right. And the brightest minds, these cost resources. It costs resources to fight in court, yes. But to have the right people to go into court, that's where the resources, again, go high, because we're competing with the best of the best and to get the best here. And we do that through your support of the ACLJ. I mean, you don't want these attorneys worried about paying their bills. You want them worried about winning these cases,
absolutely,
these major cases that impact you, your children, your grandchildren, and the direction of our country. So take an opportunity when your donation can be matched and donate today at ACLJ.org. There's 35 years of victory, but there's 35 years of a lot more battles to come and a lot more victories that need to be necessary. We've just explained a few of them to you in the last, I think, 3.5 minutes. So go to ACLJ.org right now. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation. You have until the end of the month, but hey, get ahead of that end of the month. Do it today. Right. ACLJ.org. Maybe you'll get busy the next few days. Make sure to take action at ACLJ.org, because people do get busier towards the holiday.
It is towards the holiday, obviously, coming up, and kids are back to school. Look, right now, maybe you're on your lunch break. If you're on the East Coast, maybe it's time to just do that. Go make your donation today. Scan the QR code or go to ACLJ.org. When we get back, we're going to hear from you. We got two lines open, though, and you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But if you're watching right now, a lot of YouTube callers right now, great. If you're on YouTube, give me a call. I love hearing from YouTube and Rumble callers. Be right back. All right, let's hear from you, the most important voice in the room, before we wrap up the show today. And we do have two lines open at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be on the air, this is a great time to call. Hopefully we'll get to you. We'll do our best to get to anyone who has been on hold, obviously, for a while. If you call in now, we'll do our best to get to you as well. Let's go to Bobby, though, who's calling in New York. He's been on hold for a long time, Bobby, so I appreciate you holding. I know we had a lot of ground to cover, but go ahead.
Niagara Falls on the American side, as I always say.
I know.
Listen, it sticks in my craw that John Bolton was always looking down on Donald Trump, and but I trust Cash and Pam that they're doing this for the right reasons. But as Rod Serling used to say, I think John Bolton got his comeuppance, and that's all I have to say today.
Yeah, of course, Rod. So I'm glad we got a Rod Serling quote in here. You know what? I love a good Twilight Zone reference that comes in. But thank you for calling, Bobby. From Niagara Falls on the New York side. So thank you so much for calling. Let's continue on. Thanks for holding for that comment. Some people agree with that. Some people don't. What I've told you is how I truthfully feel, which is show me the proof, the evidence that this has happened. Got no problem with that. As long as you just show us that this isn't just political retribution, this doesn't become an ongoing thing. There's a real reason. And look, I mean, the book already kind of did show some of that, just having the fact that there was not the clearance that was needed to be put out before the book was released.
Well, and that's something that we were even talking about earlier, is that a lot of these individuals, especially ones that had been around for a long time across multiple administrations, they began to believe that they truly were the government.
Yeah,
and you start to see this pattern where
even they stay.
They believe that they are the smartest people in the room and that their opinion or policy is the greatest thing ever. And if you disagree with them, you're just wrong. I understand that, but at the same time, what you saw is John Bolton even reacting to the raid on Mar-a-Lago, where he would say things like he didn't realize how dangerous this could be to sources and methods, but at the same time, it appears that maybe he took documents he was not supposed to retain with him. The difference between the two of them are that President Trump is the only one who has the authority to declassify documents. John Bolton never had that authority.
No, he could only if someone wanted to declassify, he could have some of his positions put some input in, but he would not have made the ultimate decision in any of those matters. And again, there were issues surrounding the book. A lot of it looked like it was just teasing out to try to sell books during an impeachment, and good timing, because it kind of rushed it out. And then there was a section of this is bio, and there was a section of the book on this. But ultimately here, again, I think that a lot more happened than just John Bolton's book behind the scenes. There was a very tumultuous relationship ultimately. And listen, that was not uncommon with the first set of folks
who were in the
Trump White House. This has been a much more stable cabinet. At a time when people thought there was going to be a lot of instability at first.
There was a moment a few months ago where it felt like turnover was
right
about to happen.
Day. Well, usually it's within those first, right after those first 100 days that the kind of political apparatuses go to war with you. That your time
they've
is
only lost. You've lost Elon in some ways, and you've lost a few of the others. But even that got kind of moved and shifted.
Yes, and I don't think they would describe Waltz as lost. They would just say he's waiting for his next position.
Just changed, but some change. All right, let's continue on with some of these calls because we only got a few minutes left, and we got a lot of calls to get through. Steven in Arizona, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. A great day in America again. And I think I and my wife, Mary, just want a level playing field. In other words, if you're RD or I and you are found to have questionable ethics or you're corrupt, we just want it to be fair. So if I don't care. And I think they start with a forensic audit of all congressmen, everybody in Congress, to find out if you're getting kickbacks, because that's where the corruption starts. So thanks a lot, guys. Keep it up. And we just stay strong and be of good courage.
I think I said today was, if John Bolton should definitely be people like Adam Schiff, too. It should be, there should be Republicans and Democrats involved here. How they get about going about it may be different, but because
it's one of the situations where a Senate is going to have to say, oh, we got to investigate ourselves, and then it's never going to happen. It's like,
someone's got to do it. That's investigating outside them, which is honestly is supposed to be the better way, because it doesn't matter if your name's John Bolton or Adam Schiff. If you've got information you shouldn't have that's dangerous for the country or illegal to have, you shouldn't have it.
Yeah, or if your name is Bill from Michigan on line 3, Bill, watching on YouTube, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to point out one significant difference. I've heard multiple accounts of the story. I haven't heard anything about commandos or SWAT teams or early morning raids, pre-dawn.
It was pretty early. It was early morning.
It was at 5-6 o'clock in the morning. It did happen. I mean, so it definitely happened early.
I don't know if it was pre-dawn or right at dawn.
Right at dawn, but that's pretty early. But Bill, and also I don't know about SWAT teams. Presumably there was some version of that. There usually is.
Yeah, just in case somebody responds overly aggressive to
knock on
their door.
We know if you want to be an IRS agent, leaving, you got to be able to.
It also appears that John Bolton was not at home at the time. He does have a pretty large security detail because of the threats against him from Iran, much like a lot of the former president cabinet, especially after taking out many of their leaders, had there been threats against these individuals. So it does appear, though, that they were let in by a security team, that it wasn't having to kick down the door, but,
just in case.
Just in case.
They always have that pole.
Battering ram. They love to use it. Yeah. They love to use the battering ram.
They just do the knock, light knock. Let's go to Susan in Maryland on line 5. You're on the air.
Thank you. I think maybe one of the biggest clues, perhaps, I know your discussion this morning, I'm sure everything was concluded with President Trump, but Pam Bondi yanking those security clearances, could this be new material on Bolton that jeopardizes national security or the Trump administration?
Yeah, I think it was Tulsi Gabbard, but yes, go ahead.
Well, and John Bolton's security clearance was actually pulled back in January. He was one of the first people that lost their security clearance when President Trump was sworn into office. That even predated Tulsi Gabbard being confirmed to the ODNI. But once again, Susan, I think that is what a lot of people want to hear, because if it required this type of raid and it does go back to the information that was around the time of the impeachment, it seems a little like overkill to me that if that was the only thing. So potentially there was more things, maybe there throughout the Biden administration, but that's something we just do not know.
Yeah. And we also don't know what they may have seen in an actual investigation before they did this. This could be something that we haven't even thought about yet.
Yeah. Hey, we got a minute and a half. Let's do this. Mario's calling from Illinois on line 4. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing, gentlemen?
We only got like a minute left of the show, so go.
I got a theory and a question. The theory is do you believe, and I this is just a hypothetical, do you believe Bolton's being used in a sense that letting everybody else know that's on the FBI radar?
They're coming.
That they're coming for you.
Well, if you were a Biden political machine, maybe you would think that way because it's all politics. I don't think that, hopefully, that the Department of Justice...
I'm sure some people's eyes opened up this morning when they saw John Bolton's house being raided.
Absolutely, because I'm sure James Comey thought his was the first one, because they already have a strike force looking into him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, there's a handful of people. You could go through the names. There's probably a group of names we don't know as well. And what it appears like for most people they would like to see is, what is this actually connected to? And it might be sometime till you find out about it. You might get little hints later in the day, but they don't always just come right out and say, hey, this is why we did this, if they believe there's still an ongoing crime being committed.
I want you to have a great weekend, but before you do that, before you go on hiatus for a couple days, let yourself breathe. Support the work of the ACLJ if you can. Go to ACLJ.org, scan that QR code. Like, you have 2 days of me not asking you to do that. So, you know what? Enjoy them. You know, a great way to do it right now is support the work of the ACLJ. Your donation will be doubled. You've heard all the reasons during this broadcast and know how much we really appreciate it. Have a good weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday. Of course, new content posted each and every day on our YouTube channel and on ACLJ.org. Talk to you Monday.